sometimes the simplest pleasures are the best, aren't they? If you've ever enjoyed an egg fresh from the chicken coop, scrambled, and just a little butter maybe, I think you know what heaven tastes like. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining me today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And I'm really pleased to introduce to you Terry Goldson. She is the author of several books, and she's been a guest on this program before, if I'm not mistaken. One of her books is called The Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. She lives in a small town outside of Boston with her family and a small menagerie of animals, including her chickens. And Terry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Great to have you with us today to talk about your book and to talk about raising chickens and then some of the great recipes you have. I want to invite our listeners to join in too, because I think some of them will have backyard hens, and I'm hoping we get some experiences from them to share, and maybe some favorite dishes from some favorite egg dishes. Would love to hear about those as well as we visit with Terry Goldson about her wonderful book with great photography, by the way.
Thank you. Ben Fink, the photographer, is a genius of light. All the photographs in the book were done in my home with natural light.
Oh, man, they're beautiful.
Just makes a difference. And we would wait for the light and the clouds to just hit the food just right. And people, I think, can see I'm not a food stylist. I'm a cook. And I think that you can see the real reality of what I do with the photographs in the book.
Yeah, they're just absolutely lovely and really make you want to try every one of these recipes, to be perfectly honest. Oh, I love
them. You know, I'm a home cook with professional experience, and so the recipes that I do come from a real sort of practical ease.
Yeah, I can see that. And they're lovely. And we have a few, and we'll talk about that later. We have two or three, I believe, up on our Facebook page just to give listeners an idea of what they can find in your book. But let's talk about, first, about the pleasures of raising chickens and also of the high-quality eggs that result from them. And let's start with that backyard flock. We have... in many parts of Wisconsin now, in our cities, we have ordinances that allow for raising chickens in your backyard. Roosters are usually verboten, but the hens are welcome in many places.
And roosters are truly totally unnecessary in a backyard flock, so that's not a problem at all.
Yeah. Well, what kind of equipment do you need?
Well, the most important thing is to have the shelter right. Chickens don't need heat in the winter, but they do suffer from heat stroke in the summer, so you want to place a coop in a shady area that also gets sunlight, and you need to have a coop that is the right size for your chickens, enough ventilation. The coop is the most important thing. The basic structure is essential. And then you need a feeder and a waterer and a nesting box for them to lay their eggs in, and you need all the associated stuff. You need the bedding, and then you need the pitchfork to clean it up with. So it's sort of like a little farmette in your backyard.
Yeah, and you need a little area for them to wander around, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. So along with the coop structure itself, they need to have access to the outdoors. And I like to see 4 square feet per chicken inside and at least 8 square feet per chicken outside in a fenced run. If you have, especially suburban, urban chickens, you really have to worry about predators in the city as well as in the country. And so you need to have a fenced area for them that can keep the predators out.
Yeah, absolutely. What about choosing the types of hens to raise? You talk a lot about the amazing variety of chickens out there. And if you, I would invite our listeners, if you've never gone to the state fair, the Wisconsin State Fair, and gone to the poultry exhibit building, you are really missing out, because the many, many, many types of chickens are really amazing to see.
They are, and they're beautiful, and some of them are comical. And I have 18 chickens in my backyard. You can actually see them. I have a live streaming cam on my chickens at hencam.com, so you can actually see the chickens that I'm going to talk about on the air today. And I have a number of breeds, but telling people what sort of chicken to get, it's sort of like telling a dog fancier, oh, you should have a Chihuahua or you should have a Great Dane. Chickens are just as different as dog breeds. They have different personalities depending on the breeds, and different levels of care are needed for different chickens. So you can pick a chicken solely for egg production. You can pick a chicken because you like a black and white chicken with speckles. I personally like to have a really varied egg basket, so I have a selection of hens that lay different colored eggs. I have eggs that range from white to brown to speckled brown to blue, all in my egg basket from my hens.
Blue?
Blue, yes.
How do you get a blue egg?
I do. You can get chickens either a purebred, which would be a Araucana, which is a South American breed, and they lay beautiful robin blue eggs. And then there are chickens that are now called Easter Eggers, Americanas. They come under different names, and they lay anything from olive green to blue eggs. You never know until they start laying what they're going to lay. It's always a surprise.
And you point out, I thought it was interesting, that chickens are very social.
Chickens are social. The expression, birds of a feather flock together, that's chickens. Chickens actually have friendships. When you have a small flock, and this isn't true of, you know, the industrial agriculture with 10,000 chickens, but when you have a small flock of five hens, you'll find that a couple of them stay together, and they like to sleep next to each other. And part of designing your backyard situation housing is to give them enough space so they can pick and choose who they're next to.
That's really interesting. And in terms of ongoing care, of course, you're feeding them ongoing, and there's the cleaning of the manure and such.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, chickens on a daily basis don't necessarily take a lot of time. You make sure they have food and water in the morning, and you make sure that they're closed up at night. I like to make sure my chickens are locked in tight against predators at night. And then a couple times a week, I skip out the manure. I do a whole composting system so that everything is tidy and doesn't smell. And then I muck out the coop about once a week and keep it just really, really tidy. And it doesn't add up to a lot of time, but, you know, they're animals. When people ask me, you know, are chickens right for me? I want to get fresh eggs. And I say, well, the first thing that you have to think about is, do you actually like chickens? Because what you want, these are animals that you have to enjoy being around.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And in terms of the eggs themselves, what determines how many eggs a hen is going to lay?
A number of things. That's a really good question. A number of things determine egg quantity. The first one is breed. I have a white leghorn, which lays 6 eggs a week. A chicken cannot lay more than 1 egg a day. It takes about 24 to 26 hours for a chicken to lay an egg. So they can't do more than 1 a day anyway. Some chickens can do 6 eggs a week. Some breeds of chickens only lay 2 eggs a week. So it depends on the breed. And then it also depends on age. As a chicken gets older, they lay fewer eggs. And as chickens get older, once a year, they molt, and they have to lose all of their feathers and grow them back. And when they do that, they can't lay eggs either, and they get a rest. And that usually happens during the winter. So it's not like if you have chickens in your backyard every single day, you're going to go out and get an egg. It doesn't work that way. This is so interesting. Eggs used to be a seasonal product.
Yeah.
And back in 1915, a dozen eggs in New York City would have been the equivalent of over $15 in today's money.
Wow.
Because eggs were seasonal. And then, of course, industrial agriculture happened and shipping and cold storage. But those of us with backyard chickens, we still appreciate how seasonal it is.
Terry Golson, our guest today. She is the author of the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. We're talking with her about her book, which is filled with wonderful recipes and also information on how to raise your own chickens. And one of the great egg experts at Wisconsin Public Radio, at least, is Judith Sears Poisson.
I love a good egg.
She does, and she's joining me during this Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. It's your chance to show support for all the programs you listen to throughout the year, so I hope you'll make that important step when you donate at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And last hour, Larry, we heard from 39 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Our goal now is to get 42 pledges by noon. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on. So help us meet the goal with your gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, on this program, we cover topics like the environment. We talk about consumer issues, gardening, the how-to topics, Wisconsin authors. We feature a lot in Wisconsin foods. I think you get a lot of great information from the program, and it's possible because of your financial support on Wisconsin Public Radio. So I hope you'll support this program and all the other great programs you enjoy on WPR with your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You give to Wisconsin Public Radio to support the programs. And as an added incentive, we have something really special for you right now. It's the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Golson. You've been hearing about it. You'll hear much more in the next hour or so. And the book can be yours when you give $120 or more. That's $10 a month. It's a beautiful book full of great information that I know Larry and Terry are going to talk about, but also wonderful recipes that you're going to want to try. So ask for it now when you make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Marilyn from Madison, Wisconsin. It's just so much a part of me. I know it's always there for me. It's the only station, I think, that I have practically on my car radio, that and a little classic rock. And when I was on the road going to all the little metropoli as poet laureate in Wisconsin, the towns and villages, it was always there. You know, I never felt like I was out of the loop. It just comes with me every day during my day, sort of like a dog. A very friendly dog. So if you're a listener, why not try to be a sustainer? You won't have to feel one bit guilty anymore for not having done it. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can be proud that you are part of the team.
And I hope you will go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during the spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, hey, maybe it's $10 a month or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And if you've been listening to WPR for a while without pledging, maybe you haven't given because you didn't know that we're listener supported. Well, we are. The single largest piece of our budget comes from listeners. Or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard.
You're listening all those months or years later, so how about a donation right now? Your gift, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, that can really make a difference at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, if you're like me, every time you listen to WPR, you learn something. I certainly learned a lot reading Terry Golson's book, The Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. I'm betting you're going to learn something listening today to the conversation Larry has with her. Whether it's about the news of the day, a personal anecdote, history, pop culture, cooking and food, there's always something interesting going on.
And I think listening to WPR reminds you that life is truly fascinating, that you're glad to always learn something new. That engagement you feel when you listen, I think that's worth your support. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry and I really try to bring those interesting and engaging and entertaining and educational, informational shows to you each and every day. And your gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community. You enjoy this radio station, and so do so many others.
Make your pledge right now for yourself and for the community at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Join your friends and neighbors and family who believe in Wisconsin Public Radio and believe in supporting it. It takes the support of everyone who listens to make this radio station and this radio show as good as it possibly can be.
When you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news and information you need is here every day.
And we are looking for 41 more pledges in the next 40 minutes or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And I hope you'll ask for the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Golson with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much. If you're not, think about becoming one right now. It's easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is convenient for you and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
So I hope you'll donate now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We had a couple of folks call in with pledges.
Thank you. Thank you. Woof, woof, as that listener said, we're like a friendly dog.
Friendly dogs here at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. And thanks for listening in today as we visit with Terry Golson, author of cookbooks and children's books, including the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. She lives in a small town outside of Boston with her husband, her sons, two dogs, a bunch of hens, a couple small goats and a rabbit, and one huge koi, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right, Terry?
She's huge. She's 11 years old, and she's a couple of feet.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a big koi.
It's a big koi.
No doubt about that. I want to invite our listeners to join in. Do you have a backyard garden or backyard hen, I should say, a group of hens? Tell us about your experience and your girls, or maybe you have a favorite dish. We haven't even started to talk about the recipes, of which there are, how many do you have in the book anyway?
There's 100.
100 recipes. And maybe you have a favorite dish that really highlights delicious fresh eggs. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question. Or maybe you've got a photo of your backyard operation. We'd love to see that as well. And, Terry, you talk a lot about egg freshness in your book. Can you share your egg freshness test with us?
Sure. Listeners should understand that eggs are actually porous. People don't realize that. They look solid, but they have about 9,000 tiny, tiny little holes in them. And so as an egg gets older, the egg changes because air gets in. You know that air pocket that happens at the tip of the egg?
Yep.
That gets larger and larger with age. And so if you don't know how old an egg is, there's a really easy way to look. You just fill up a bowl with water and you put the egg in the water. If the egg lies flat on the bottom of the bowl of water, it's really fresh. If it starts to tip up, it's maybe a week to 10 days old. If it starts to tip up a little bit more, it's older. When it's pointing upright, it's quite old, maybe 6 weeks old. And if it's floating, don't ever crack it. Just throw it out carefully. It's really bad.
Oh, and of course, depending on the freshness, there's varying uses for eggs. I know, for example, that you have older eggs are better for peeling when you have hard-boiled eggs.
Yeah, people with fresh eggs from their own hens, the first thing they actually complain about is, I can't peel my hard-cooked eggs. And that's because the membrane that holds the innards together inside that egg, that doesn't really form for about 10 days. So when I'm going to have egg salad, I actually set eggs aside and let them age for 2 weeks in my refrigerator so they're easy to peel. But on the other hand, if you're going to make a poached egg, a lot of poached egg recipes call for putting a little vinegar in the water. That's not necessary with fresh eggs. That's to tighten up those egg whites so that they stay, so the egg stays in like a nice pouch. With a fresh egg, you can put it right in simmering water, and you don't need to add any vinegar. You don't have any of that vinegar flavor, and the egg just stays in this nice little tight ball because it's so fresh.
Yeah. Kelly and Stetzer has a question, I think relating to that. She may have been calling when we were talking about this. Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, just curious. Maybe you talked about it already, but we raise chickens, too. We feed them scraps from our barn every day. But it seems like it takes like 4 to 5 weeks of a fresh egg before you can hard boil them. Is there any other kind of secret that you can do so you can boil them quicker?
There's a lot of tips out there, and I can tell you none of them work. The baking soda tip, the vinegar tip, they really don't work. Here's the thing. It's really 10 days, and by the end of 10 days, your egg should be, you should be able to hard cook them. I have a technique in my book of how to, I don't boil, I hard cook. And there's a really big difference because when you boil eggs, that's when you get that green circle around the yolk.
Yep.
And if you hard cook it, which is just putting the eggs in water, bringing it to a boil, turning the stove off, covering and letting them sit for 15 minutes, you're going to get a perfect egg. Then, here's the tip. Then what you do is you immediately put those hot eggs in ice water.
Yeah.
And that helps the peel come off.
Ah. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Kelly. Pat in Colgate, hi.
Hello.
Yes, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to your story about the hard-cooked eggs that are from fresh eggs.
Yeah.
And the difficulty peeling. And I found that if you steam the eggs for 15 minutes, and these are eggs that I just collected this morning, steam the eggs for 15 minutes and then put them in an ice bath for half an hour or so to let them cool. You can peel an egg in 18 seconds.
Yeah, there's actually, if you go to like flea markets and things, you can find these old-fashioned steamers, although the electric cords always scare me, so I haven't used them. The old egg cookers used to work in that fashion, and I actually have directions in my book for steaming as well. And that works because, as I said, the eggs are porous, and so that steam can actually get in and cook them a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Well, I've done this many, many times since I discovered the method. My husband has done it. We have a steamer that you would steam vegetables in.
Yep.
And every time that you peel these eggs that are just fresh laid in the morning, the peels come off, or the shells come off almost instantly, very, very easily.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's great. I'm curious, what breeds of chickens do you have?
I have Barred Rock, Rhode Island Red Cross, and Buff Orpingtons.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thank you, Pat.
So that has helped us tremendously. We don't hesitate to cook the eggs anymore when they're absolutely fresh. And also the eggs, when you take them, cut them apart, they're beautiful. As you said, they're hard cooked, not boiled.
And they don't feel rubbery, right, Pat? They have that perfect hard flavor. That texture is just perfect without that hard rubberiness.
I'm going to have to try the steamer.
It's absolutely perfect egg.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. It's 15 minutes you steam them for.
15 minutes, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Caller Jeff from Mercer would like to know, at what age laying hens should be cycled out and new chicks brought in?
That's really a question of whether you are a commercial farmer and absolutely need to make a profit, or whether you're a backyard person and you've already named your chickens things like Veronica and Ruby. Because personally, what I do is I have two flocks. I have older retired hens, and then I have the younger hens that are more productive. The life cycle of a chicken is productively, you would cycle out those chickens before the second molt, which is in their just after their second year of lay. What happens is as chickens get older, although they continue to lay, they lay fewer eggs, and the eggshells are thinner. And so for a commercial farmer who needs to put those eggs into a carton, and they need every single egg from the hen in order to make a profit, because, as you know, farming, very small profit margins, a commercial farmer needs to not have chickens past 2 years.
And we also have...
I've had chickens up to, 9 years of age, and they hang out in my backyard, retired, clucking, happy.
They don't wind up on your dinner table.
Oh, no, they don't.
Okay. We had an email from Anne Marie. I said, I always heard that it takes a rooster to fertilize hen's eggs. I have no rooster yet. I'm collecting what looks like fertile eggs from one of my red hybrids.
Oh, I can tell you exactly what that is.
What is it?
Okay, it's one of two things. Sometimes a little bit of the dark brown dye that is sprayed onto the egg actually gets into the egg, and so what you're seeing is a dye speck, or it's a blood spot, and a blood spot is simply a tiny little bit of blood that's released off the ovary when the yolk comes off. Both of those things are perfectly edible, although a little unsightly. So you don't have to throw that egg out, and it's not fertilized.
And she's got a red hybrid. Do you know that breed? Or it's a hybrid, so it's...
Sometimes they're called golden comets or red stars, and they are a hybrid between usually a Rhode Island red and a white leghorn, and they're terrific layers of very productive of brown eggs and really nice, friendly hens to have around in a backyard.
And we had some other questions. I think you've just answered about what do you do with your hens after they quit? They're pets for you. Do you keep them separate from the others?
No, but as a hen gets older, they definitely get a little bit more feeble. And so I have one flock where my hens are a little bit more active and assertive. And then if I have a mild-mannered or older chicken, she goes in with the mellow girls. So I have, I have sort of the mellow hens and the not quite so mellow hens.
Okay. Well, that's a good explanation. I like that a lot. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And your recipes, by the way, as I said earlier, the book is just a lovely, lovely book.
Thank you.
And with 100 recipes that I want to try them all. I don't know that I'll get to them right away, every one of them, but there's a few that I know I'm going to get to pretty quickly. And these are all recipes I bet you've tried yourself, Terry.
Oh, they're all my recipes. I've tested them many times. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got that right, and recipes up on my Facebook page, and we'll get those recipes to you. You'll have a chance to take a look at them here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Terry Golson, the author of cookbooks and children's books, including the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook, which is what we're zeroing in a little bit on today, and really looking forward to visiting with her some more, because she's got so many wonderful recipes in her book, and a woman who has never met an omelet she didn't like.
It's very true. My husband can attest to that.
Judith Sears Poisson joins us to talk about our spring membership drive. We're here today to raise money that pays for the programs you enjoy, so I hope you'll give your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're off to a pretty good start.
We are. We are still, however, looking for 32 more pledges in the next 25 minutes or so. Your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong. So please make your contribution. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You enjoy this program, and also the Kathleen Dunn Show, I'm sure, and Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and all the many others you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world really like no other. Support the exciting and entertaining mix of shows you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can choose the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Goldson as your thank you gift for your support at $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Your pledge supports the programs, and you're going to, I know you're going to enjoy this great book. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking that your tax dollars, both federal and state, already support WPR, well, you're right. They do, and we thank you for that.
But contributions from individual listeners make the quality and variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is actually the single biggest piece of our budget pie. You make the difference, in other words. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm pleased to be a listener and part of the audience for Wisconsin Public Radio because, as our whole family feels, Wisconsin Public Radio and what they bring to the community is really a family value for us. I'm Joan Rudnitsky. I'm a board member of Wisconsin Public Radio Association. I'm from West Bend, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller with Judith Sears Poisson, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. So whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
A sustaining membership is truly the gift that keeps on giving. As a sustainer, your membership doesn't have an expiration date.
And that's because the monthly donation or deductions from your bank account or charges on your credit card or debit card automatically renew every year. Give the gift that keeps on giving by becoming a sustainer with a monthly gift in whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it, but the whole thing works because you do choose to support it. So how about a pledge right now of $10 a month?
You decide the amount and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift supports the programs you hear every day on WPR.
And we are still looking for 31 more pledges in the next 20 minutes. Please help us make that goal. Your gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And Judith and I were talking, we just hope that people don't pass up on this idea here, this gift, this book. If you ask for the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Goldson, it's yours with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Pledge now. You're not going to be sorry when you see this book at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know who I think is going to pledge and get this book? Me.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about doing it, too.
I have friends that would appreciate it. So if you're already a sustaining member, thank you so much. If you're not, think about becoming one right now. No better time than the present. It's easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is convenient for you and provides reliable funding for WPR.
I see Mary from Milwaukee says, I listen every day to WPR, really can't do without it. The matching donations that we sometimes have spurred me on since I was going to donate anyway. Other folks are talking about the opportunity to have a great station on the air with beautiful, inspiring music and other thought-provoking programming.
Well, and Deborah from Portage just said, for many years, I considered donating to WPR but hadn't. For many years, I considered getting chickens but hadn't. Today, after hearing Larry's program, I was inspired to do both. Well, there you go. We have a new donor and a new chicken wrangler.
And she's going to get a copy of the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook because she is contributing, I bet.
Yes, I bet she's picking up on that book. Again, at the $120 level, that's $10 a month. 100 wonderful recipes, great information for chicken owners and just consumers of eggs. It's really a beautiful and fun book.
So make your contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And do it right now. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. My guest today, Terry Colson. Terry is the author of cookbooks and children's books, including the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook we're talking about today with her, where she writes about raising chickens, raising hens, and also 100 great recipes with really great photography to go along with it. So great to have her along. Thank you so much for listening in. Join us at 800-642-1234 with your questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. And Paulette in Burnham Wood is up with a comment. Paulette, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just made my pledge and can't wait to get the book.
Oh, wonderful.
I live on a hobby farm and have been raising chickens since moving to Burnham Wood in 1976 when I took a teaching job here. In fact, we got a setting hen that had chicks that she was about to hatch, and that's how we got started. And ever since, we've had chickens every year. Anyway, we love raising chickens, and the fresh eggs, as your guest has said, are absolutely wonderful. And if they range free, it makes a huge difference. Mother's News had an article that said that if they can eat seeds, grass, and bugs, they have less cholesterol in their eggs, less saturated fat, more vitamins, and they just are healthier. And I truly, truly believe that. My husband just had a checkup, and his cholesterol was fabulous, and he eats probably more eggs than anybody that can imagine. Anyway, my question is, we do have a rooster with our hens because we let them out. They just get to go outside free range. And he guards them very nicely, which is wonderful. But he's gotten aggressive just recently, and I wondered if you have any ideas how to handle this. I usually just make sure I have something between me and him because he has actually tried to come at me.
So how old is this rooster?
He's just a year old. He's the same as the hens. He was raised at the same time.
You find this happening where they seem to be a nice rooster, and then they sort of like a witch
goes, the only thing different
and they get
is
aggressive. The problem is that he knows you, but you have to be incredibly careful if anyone else comes on your property. Roosters can be really scary animals. And in the past, that rooster would have been just put in the stew pot, and you would have had another rooster coming along. And, it sounds horrible, but you don't want to have a rooster that you can't rely on. Sometimes what works is if you carry the rooster around all day long, if you're willing to do this. It's kind of hard if you have a farm. But if you carry the rooster around all day long, they sort of get embarrassed and give in. But
that
works only with some roosters. It does work with some roosters, but not with all.
Okay.
Well, give it a try, Paula.
Let me know if it works.
Yeah, that'd be fun to fun to know if it works.
Is there any reason to have a rooster? I mean, I had heard that fertilized eggs were really good.
No, actually, fertilized eggs have no nutritional difference from regular eggs. When you eat a fertilized egg, the little bit of fertilization is very, very, very tiny. And, of course, you don't eat the eggs once the embryo starts developing.
Yeah.
So the only reason to have a rooster around is if your chicken's free range, roosters do tend to be more observant than the hens, and they will warn them earlier of danger. But it's no guarantee that they're going to keep the predators at bay. They're an early warning system.
Yeah.
What they are.
Story. Last night when I went to close up the coop, it was raining and windy and dark. I always wait till after the dark because they go in on their own. And the door was shut because the wind had blown it shut. So I went inside. There were only 6 of my 26 chickens inside. So I had to search in the dark to see where they were. And they were all huddled up against the windows of the coop on the outside getting rained on. I felt just terrible. So I, one at a time, picked him up and brought him back in. But last of all was the rooster, and he did not want me to pick him up. So he let me steer him back inside, but they all got put back inside. But it was not a real fun thing to do in the dark and the rain.
No.
You know, the interesting thing about chickens is they have extremely good eyesight in the daytime. And at night, they have almost no night vision at all. And so most of the time your chickens will put themselves to bed at night. They don't want to be outside where they're susceptible to being taken by a predator. But what happens is if they, for some reason, they can't get into the coop, they get stuck wherever they are because they can't see.
There you go.
I'm enjoying your show and looking forward to your recipes. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Paulette, for calling. And what about her comments regarding free range and the eggs and flavor and so forth?
There's a number of reasons why chickens on pasture, chickens that are free range, the eggs are better. The eggs are better, certainly better nutritionally. They do have a better nutritional profile that's been proven in lab tests. The other thing is that chickens that are highly stressed, the ones that are in tight confinement or in cages, those chickens lay thinner-shelled eggs. The stress contributes to that, and if an eggshell is thin, they crack, and then bacteria can get in. So egg from a hen that's a happy hen is actually a safer and better egg.
Patricia in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Aloha, Larry. The other week I saw a program on TV, and it was for some business out east where they were providing a rent-a-chicken business.
Oh, yes.
And then the other day on the radio, I heard that it's either La Crosse or Eau Claire were going to be offering that.
Aloha,
Patricia. For people who aren't sure that they're chicken people, it gives them a sort of a put the toe in the water and see if they like it or not situation, yeah.
Maybe Larry can expound on the roaming chickens of Hawaii.
Oh, my goodness me. Patricia was with me among the group of people who were in Hawaii, and everywhere you turn, I don't know if you've been to Hawaii, Terry.
I haven't, sadly, no.
Oh, well, there are chickens roaming wild all over every island, as far as I could see.
Well, chickens started out, the precursor of the domestic chicken is a wild jungle fowl from Southeast Asia. So I imagine that the chickens got loose and said, oh, we're home.
Well, I'm telling you, everywhere you turn, you're gonna see chickens in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patricia. Appreciate your call. I want to give Rich a chance to join in. Rich, hi, from Summers.
Hi. I wonder if you give me some insight on guinea hens, how their eggs are, what's the meat like. I heard they're good for, they eat a lot of ticks.
Okay, guinea hens are an African bird that have been domesticated. If people don't know what they look like, they're sort of black and white with these bright red heads. They are extremely noisy.
Oh, yes.
So whereas a backyard person in a urban environment like Madison, you know, five chickens, you're not going to notice them. Five guinea hens, you are really going to notice them.
One.
That's the first thing to know about them. They're really noisy. They are extremely good tick eaters. And in my part of the world, we have a terrible problem with Lyme disease. It's a disease carried by ticks.
We have it here, too.
It's terrible. And people are getting the guinea hens to take care of the tick problem. And it will reduce the tick problem on property. They like to roam. Sometimes they don't want to stay where you think they should be, and they go off to somebody else's house, and your neighbor's tick problem will be taken care of, and they'll never come back again. So they're birds that are not quite as tractable as the domestic hen, but they do eat ticks.
They do.
And they have eggs. The eggs are just as edible as chicken eggs, and people do harvest them for meat. So they're an interesting bird to have. They're not for everybody, but if you have the right situation for them, they're great. They are a better guard than a guard dog. They know who you are. They know your vehicles. They know if they don't know someone who's coming, they'll let you know.
And David in Milwaukee, hi.
Where else but Wisconsin Public Radio are you going to get an hour and a half with a chicken and egg pro?
That's right.
I have to limit my cholesterol for health reasons, so I use egg white powder. I wonder if you might have a tip for dispersing that powder in water, something that can be added or something. And further, when I open the jar of the powder, there's a real unusual odor, and I don't know if that's deterioration. Finally, I'm wondering, does the pesticides and things from non-organic grown eggs contain the pollution and things, and the egg white powder, the egg white is actually cleaner?
Right. Those are all really interesting questions. I actually don't have much experience cooking with egg white powder because I have so many egg whites on my, you know, from my own hens. I personally find egg white powder, as you said, it sometimes tastes metallic.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a little bit off. I am not very fond of the egg white powder products. You might just want to get eggs and toss out the yolks if you feel you can't eat them, and
yeah.
just use really good egg whites.
Yep.
I think you'll find that a lot
more satisfying. Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a lot satisfying, and you know the texture is going to be so much better. And you can cook egg whites, and in many of the recipes, the egg white is what acts as a binder, and so you can use mm-hmm. egg whites in all sorts of recipes. And I would just use whole eggs and get good eggs.
Yep, absolutely, and we can talk some more about that. I really think it deserves some more, and even talk some more about the pesticides as well as we visit with Terry Goldson today, and want to bring in Judith Sears Poisson once more because we're in our spring membership drive. And looking for your support. It's the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. We'll be back with our guest, Terry, in just a couple minutes. But first, Judith Sears Poisson with me to encourage you to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
Larry, you know what the way to my heart is? A really good deviled egg.
Oh, I love deviled eggs.
And you know what else is a really good way to my heart? 19 more pledges in the next 6 minutes. That's what we need. 19 more pledges in the next 6 minutes. That's what we need to do to stay on track this hour. We can only do it with your support. So thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network with you all day long, whether you ride to work with us or maybe you run errands with us or you cook dinner with us. I think you get interesting discussions whenever you want them. We're always here, and you make that possible with your donations. Wisconsin Public Radio wouldn't be what it is without your support. So please pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And the beauty of it is that you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR, and every pledge is greatly appreciated. Don't forget, you can ask for the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Goldson as your thank you gift when you give $120 or more. That's $10 a month. So do it right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And Bruce, we want to thank you so much, and thanks to everybody who's called in with a contribution. Have you? If you haven't, pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 18 more pledges in the next 4 minutes. Oh. You can help us get there. You know, if you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do. It's that great buzz you feel when you know you're part of making something special possible.
And I hope you'll join in now with your contribution. If you ask a WPR member, as Judith has said, they're going to tell you it just feels a whole lot better. I want you to make great radio happen with your first ever gift, maybe. Say it's $5 a month. And enjoy the buzz. It starts with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Every day we pay for the things that are important to us. And when you think about it, WPR is probably as important to you or maybe even more so than some of the other things you spend money on.
Yeah, life just wouldn't be as good without WPR. And WPR wouldn't be as good as it is without your support. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It pays for the programs you enjoy and you rely on every day.
We are looking for 17 more pledges in the next 3 minutes. This is our first pledge drive during this pledge break during this pledge drive. Help us make that goal. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on all year long. Thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, so I hope you'll now make the decision to support WPR financially. It's just as simple as that. Pledging is easy too. Go to WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, well, how much should I give? Well, that's entirely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs. We promise you that. Programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
So make your pledge at any amount right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you do, you play in a very essential part in funding the programs you count on every day.
16 more pledges in the next 2 minutes. Help us get there. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. It supports the programs you count on.
And please ask for the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Golson. When you make your pledge of $120 or more, that's $10 a month. Right now, pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Great information about eggs, wonderful recipes, such fascinating information that Terry's put together. It can be yours right now, but only if you pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge right now. WPR.org. Such a great treat to cook delicious and healthy food for yourself and the people you care about. And many of us know the joy of cooking something that's come out of our garden, but more and more people, urban and rural folks alike, are realizing what a treat fresh eggs from a backyard coop can be. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today's show is kind of a perfect blend of topics that we love to talk about on this show. It covers food, cooking, self-sufficiency, health, a fun way to learn about the world around us. And who's helping us do that? Why, it's Terry Golson. She is the author of several books, including the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook, lives in a small town outside of Boston with her family and a small menagerie of animals, including her chickens. And Terry, thanks again for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
It's fun.
It's been really a lot of fun for me. And I was looking at the cookbook and looking at some of the recipes. We've posted asparagus with poached eggs and smoked salmon. We've posted the angel food cake with raspberry sauce as well. And, you know, it got me thinking again about the book. And you have sometimes the egg is the featured item of the recipe, and sometimes it holds a different role.
Well, eggs are so versatile in cooking. So they act to bind food. They act to lighten it. They give flavor, they give texture. So depending on what you feel like doing and what you have in your pantry, you can decide what to do that night. And they're also so complete and so delicious on their own that it doesn't take much to make a good recipe. You just have to have the balance right.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I can tell you, you know what I'm having for dinner tonight with my family? I am going to have, where is it? Here it is. How about the salsa and guacamole frittata?
Delicious.
I'm telling you, it looks absolutely wonderful. And it's got all those things that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things about really good, fresh backyard eggs is they have true egg flavor. The chickens, as we talked about, are eating really good food, and the flavor of the food that they eat comes through. The eggs don't have any metallic taste that sometimes the industrial eggs have. And so when you combine flavors with them, it's very smooth and very whole.
And I've got a dozen
eggs. It's good.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, by the way, for the gentleman who called in who cooks with egg whites, the
yes.
angel food cake,
yes,
that's all egg whites. There's no egg yolks in there.
Yeah, and that's on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So I hope you'll go to that. I hope you'll contribute so that we send you the whole book with all the recipes in it. Because they are wonderful. And I, again, invite you to join us if you have a question or something, an experience to share at 1-800-642-1234. And, Terry, I hope you'll notice that so many of our listeners who called in today, practically everyone, are raising their own chickens.
I hear there's a lot of chicken raisers in your area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really great to know. Someone wondered, how do you get chickens to stop eating their own eggs once they've started that?
Oh, that can be a really bad problem. The best way is to prevent it from happening. Often, chickens start eating their own eggs because the egg cracks in the nesting box, and they look around and they go, oh, look, there's food here for me. And then they recognize that eggs are food. Chickens' eggs will crack if the eggshell is thin, and that usually happens because of dietary issues.
Yeah.
So on my website, I have a FAQ about what to feed chickens, and I go over all of that. You have to have the right balance of protein and the right balance of calcium and feed them the right diet. And so if their eggs are really nice and firm, that doesn't happen, the egg eating.
And again, we have a link to your site on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, but why don't you give it again for...
It's hencam.com. Hencam being that I have live streaming webcams on my chickens. So
yeah,
you can actually watch them. That's why it's called hencam.com.
I love that. Hencam.com. That's the place to go. Romy in Reedsburg has something for us. Hi, Romy.
Hey, hi, Larry. Yeah, a comment real quick about chickens as far as free range chickens roaming. Like, I think that is the best way to raise chickens. I mean, the chickens got to be chickens. They need to eat bugs. They need to eat whatever's out there. They need to get exercise. And I think that's where the good flavor comes out of the egg, right there. My question was, I was in Tractor Supply a couple weeks ago, and they sell these little chickadees. And you can buy little chickadees. Now, I was going to get some because I'm in the process of building a chicken coop. And so but my question is what's the process I have to do to, let's say I get a chickadee or get a half a dozen. Is there inoculations and stuff I got to do? Is there like a bunch of,
That's a great question. The chicks that come from the hatcheries, some of them are vaccinated and some of them are not. Some people believe in vaccinating the chicks and some don't do that. You shouldn't have to worry about the vaccination. You don't do that. That happens right when the chicks are hatched at the hatchery and the breeder takes care of it. There is a disease called coccidia, which is a protozoa, and that if you have that on your property, it will make your chicks really sick, but you can buy a feed that's medicated for coccidia. It's not antibiotics. It's a protozoa killer, and that will take care of that disease.
Oh, there you go. Thanks, Romy. Good luck with those birds. Appreciate your call. I want to give some time for Jill here in Wanakee, who sent an email in, and her comment was about your comment relating chickens don't need heat. And she says, does she mean chickens on her hobby farm in Boston don't need heat? I would say that they most certainly need heat here in Wisconsin. I was told by a veterinarian that chickens' ideal temperature is 40 degrees. Also depends on the quality of the coop, how much insulation, drafts, and that sort of thing.
I respectfully disagree with the veterinarian. The veterinarian might be talking about the temperature that you need to have a commercial farm for the chickens to lay all winter. But chickens have about 10,000 feathers, and they stay plenty warm without heat. In fact, there's been a real problem with heaters in coops causing fires. And chicken coops are really, really dusty, and you have to be incredibly careful about any heat source in your coop. in Boston, it was not a warm winter. I can tell you we had 3 weeks where it never got above zero at night, and I have no heat in my coop, and my chickens were absolutely fine. She's right. It absolutely requires you have to have good ventilation. You have to have a draft-free coop. My coops aren't even insulated.
They're not?
No, they're not insulated, but they stay. I keep the coop very dry, and they're very well ventilated. And your chickens will be fine, honestly and truly. They'll be fine.
Caller Lynn had chickens as pets when she was young. Her Boston English game hen, Brenda, lived to be 13 years old. She passed away in her first apartment that Lynn shared with her husband. So Lynn wanted to say, keep in mind that the responsibility for a chicken can last for many years. She said that she really learned a lot about responsibility as a child caring for Brenda.
That was very, very old for a chicken. But the old English game hens, they're tough little birds. They are. Most hens tend to have a lifespan of about 5 years, and some go 8, 9, 10 years of age. That's possible. That's certainly 13 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, I believe Lynn.
I do, too. It's amazing.
And so she got Brenda when she essentially kind of grew up with Brenda, from the sound of it. She must have been a little girl.
Chickens have really distinct personalities, and I'm sure that Brenda was a great little chicken to be around.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do they? You know, I can remember as a kid visiting the neighbor who had some chickens, and the young friend who was probably 13. We were both about 13. Put the chicken down on its back, and then made a kind of a V with his fingers, and sort of hypnotized the chicken. Have you ever seen that done?
I have. That's an old trick that people do. Actually, chickens know how to play dead rather well. I have seen chickens that have been caught by a dog, a pet dog, and they just go limp. And you think, oh, no, the dog's killed the chicken. And then you get the chicken from the dog, and the chicken opens one eye and says, is that dog gone? So the hypnotizing trick is actually that chicken thinks you're going to eat it, and it's playing dead.
Ah, so that's what it was.
Well, that's what's going on, yeah. Yeah,
I never really tried it myself. Well, we didn't have chickens at that point. We actually get chickens now We get eggs from that are free range hens from a farm with a small number of chickens, but enough to sell. So we get a dozen every once in a while.
Those are the best.
Yeah, and the I'm always amazed at the difference in the sizes of the eggs. Some of them are like a double extra large right next to a maybe a medium.
Well, the size of the egg depends on actually a number of things. It depends on the breed of the chicken, and it also depends on her age and the time of year. And the egg size will vary. And when you buy eggs from a supermarket, of course, they want all the eggs to be exactly the same and fit in the cart in exactly the same way. But if you have a backyard farm situation, that's, I think, one of the joys is seeing the variety of eggs. And each egg is unique to a chicken. I had a chicken that laid an egg that was pointy on both ends.
Ah!
Her whole life, every egg came out pointy on both ends. That was what she did.
Oh, my goodness. So that I've never seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, the farmers tend to take those out of the cartons. They don't want to sell them because they kind of freak people out that an egg would look weird. But when you have chickens, you realize, oh, the eggs are really unique for each bird.
Now, as you look at your book, and by the way, here's another one that I'm going to try because I love cranberries. You have that cranberry nut tort.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, does it look good?
It's very good.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. So I'm going to try that one, too, and I'm probably not at the same time I'm really thinking tonight on the salsa and guacamole frittata, to be perfectly honest. But another one that I just kind of like a lot, just because I like veggies, and there's a vegetable fried rice. To me, that's a nice basic recipe that really is going to give you there's a lot of goodness in that recipe.
Thank you. And, you know, it's really easy to do. That recipe
I've had friends of mine who are in the food business, caterers and such, and they say they come home from a long day of work, and that's what they make. They make this really quick.
It's quick. It looks wonderful.
It's light. It feels good when you eat it. It's a nice recipe.
And there's dry sherry in it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like cooking with sherry.
Just enough.
Yeah, not too much. You don't want too much, but just enough to give it a little hint.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a. It's a one. What's your favorite recipe in the book?
Oh, I can't even choose. It really depends on the time of year. When right now I have a lot of eggs, and so I'm a real pudding lover. And I have a ginger pot au creme in there where you have like a ginger pudding that's really good.
Oh, a ginger pudding.
Yeah, it's good. I'm going to have to go make it now.
Yes.
When I get off.
And you're great, too. Oh, Terry, it's so wonderful to be able to talk with you today.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, my goodness me. Terry Golson is the author of The Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. Wonderful to have her along today. And we were talking about that last recipe. And one of the reasons I like it is because of the dry sherry that's in it, that vegetable fried rice. And I know one of the great sherry lovers of Wisconsin Public Radio is Judith Sears.
Even port more, but I'll take a sherry in a tough spot.
She'll take a sherry in a tough spot. And it doesn't have to be too tough either. I can tell you that for free right now. But she loves eggs, too, and she loves this cookbook. And I think we're both probably going to contribute to get the book.
We are so convincing that we convince ourselves to pledge.
That's exactly right. And what about you? Listener contributions are the single largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value on the air. So I hope you'll make your contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 38 of you listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Our goal now is to get 13 more pledges in the next 8 minutes. Pledges like yours support the programs you count on. It's really that simple. So thanks if you've already given. If not, be the next person to make the programs possible with your gift. That's at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation today with Terry Golson and her, what she knows about cooking with eggs and raising hens. This is an example of, I think, of the kind of fun and interesting conversations we have on this show.
So please take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And right now you can get the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Golson. When you make a contribution of $120, that's $10 a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this nice thank you gift. And I have to tell you that I've already contributed in this year to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yep,
so
me too.
If you've done that, you can still contribute this time around too, because that's what we're going to do. Pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We all know that physical exercise is an important part of staying healthy. So is eating healthy foods like Farmstead eggs. Mental exercise is just as important, and getting your daily mental workout is easy when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape, and your gift of any amount helps pay for the programs, and so it keeps you and WPR healthy. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still looking for 12 more pledges in the next 7 minutes. You know, think about what you pay for things like your cable service. Maybe you pay $100 a month for that bundle. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and great information all month long.
You get those same things on this station. And in fact, the quality of what you get on WPR is really unmatched, in my opinion. That quality is only possible with your support. Become a sustaining member with a gift of $100 a month. That'd be great. And keep this station strong right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I don't think that people fully understand that Wisconsin Public Radio is really the basis from which it all began. I'm constantly telling people that you've got a tremendous resource here. You don't have to contribute. I mean, you can go ahead and take the service for free. I tell them, I contribute so you can listen. That always gets them. Here's this tremendous amount of information, which is commercial free. It's annoyance free, certainly. And I've got this terrible aversion to commercials, both on television and especially radio. I don't think the people really understand the value that you have right here just flipping on the radio.
Lots of value here. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR, and maybe your gift is $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for 11 more pledges in the next 6 minutes. We can do it, but only with your help. So please make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, especially if you agree with me and think that Larry is a good egg. I've been waiting for an hour and a half to say that.
Oh, exactly. New members are important to Wisconsin Public Radio. A big thank you to all the first-time donors who've pledged so far.
If you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the strong, reliable station that you depend on. And you decide the amount. For example, $5 a month, and then you give. It's as simple as that. But do it now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. They're powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Patricia from Madison says, WPR is the only AM station I ever listen to. I regularly record the shows and listen on my iPod while I walk. I appreciate the variety, the combination of politics and human interest topics, and especially love Larry Mueller's regular guests. Well, Patricia, thank you so much. If you love WPR like Patricia does because it's your source for intelligent radio, there are bills associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
So make a pledge. It's quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution, again, any amount, let's say it's $10 a month, maybe it's $20 a month, WPR.org, that's the place to go, or call 888-202-2552 and help make WPR possible.
We are still looking for 9 more pledges in the next 3 minutes. Please help us get there. We really like to make those goals, and it's important because it helps us stay on track with these membership drives. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And be sure to ask for the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook by Terry Golson with your pledge of $120 or more. That's $10 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And still looking for 7 more pledges. We're getting closer. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you. If you're not, think of becoming one right now. It's so easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's convenient for you. It's reliable funding for us. And guess what? If you set it up right now at the $120 a year level, $10 a month, you can get the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook.
So that's the deal. $120, $10 a month. We'll send you the Farmstead Egg Guide and Cookbook. It's a wonderful book. It tells you how to raise chickens, but it also contains 100 fabulous recipes with some great photography, our guest Terry was talking about, all done with natural light, just beautiful photos to enhance the wonderful recipes. Well, if you haven't done it, we're running out of time here. This is your opportunity. Call now and make your contribution at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org and make your contribution.
Heidi from Oak Creek says, we love the Larry Mueller Show. Great show about chickens. If you love the Larry Mueller Show too, show your support. 800 800- 888-202-2552.
Or go to WPR.org and make your contribution. And thank you.
Thank you.